Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing the refrain. Would you please register your attendance in the pads at the end of each pew? And if you are a visitor, please let us know so we can greet you and tell you more about Main Street. In spite of the dull, dreary day outside today, we have a really busy, active week at Main Street to look forward to. First of all, and I'm going to do this because Jessica reminded me, and I'm afraid if I don't do it now, I'll forget it. If it does snow tonight, there will be no youth group. So I thought I'd do that one first. Also, Mud Pies is having a book fair. It begins today. The newsletter gave you a schedule, but basically it's every morning on the first floor of the Asbury Building. So if you want to pick up some good books, children's books, some religious cookbooks, all sorts of interesting things, visit their book fair. UMW circles begin starting tomorrow, and they are at all sorts of times throughout the week. And if you're not a member of the UMW and would like to join a circle, please call the church office because they can find a time and a group that will fit your needs. The Lenten pilgrimage begins this week. You'll find an article on the back of the bulletin about it. So if you would read up, you'll notice the first one is going to be at First Baptist this week. But then on the 11th, we'll be at Main Street. So do keep in mind worshiping during Lent at the Lenten pilgrimages that we'll be having. The World Day of Prayer is going to be Friday. And you've got that information on an insert in your bulletin. I'm not going to belabor it to read it to you, but do follow it, note it, and join with other church people who are concerned about many conditions in the world today, and join us for the World Day of Prayer. That's March the 6th at 12:35, and that has lunch just like the Lenten pilgrimage has lunch with it. Now, I don't know whether you saw the newspaper this morning. If you hadn't, when you go back home after lunch, before you take your Sunday afternoon nap, read the article about the chorale with the Greenwood Lawrens Chorale that will have their first performance in this next Sunday, and then the next Sunday on the 8th and the 15th. It's a combination of two chorales, and the first one will be in First Presbyterian Church at 4 o'clock, and the second one will be next Sunday afterwards. So do look that up in the newspaper and follow that. We have some folks at Main Street who will be participating in that. So you need to read your newsletter. There's so many things going on at Main Street. Now, let us continue with our worship.
Please stand for the call to worship. Thank you. Welcome to the time of covenant renewal. The God of our salvation greets us here. Sense the Spirit descending on us now. Hear God's welcoming voice. See the rainbow in the sky. Wonder at God's steadfast love. All creators proclaims the wonders of God. We come together to learn what God wants to teach us.
Seated. During the season of Lent, this first Sunday of Lent, we are going to be adding to our worship service a call to confession. I invite you to join me in this day when we cannot escape temptation. It comes in so many forms. As Jesus was tempted, so are we. But we have yielded to temptation, and Jesus did not. Sometimes we do not even recognize the sins into which we have slipped. We seek to recall them now. Repent and believe in the good news, the gospel. Now, I invite you to join me in this unison prayer of confession, followed by a short time of personal and silent confession. Have mercy on your church, O God, for we forget the covenant into which you call us. We muddle along in our self-serving schemes rather than waiting on your word. We follow the path of least resistance without seeking your higher way. We forget our baptism into a faith community built on trust and forgiveness. We turn from the vision of heaven to the treacherous hell of competing egos. O God, we turn to you to lead us to a new day. According to your steadfast love, forgive us, we pray. Amen. God is faithful to the covenant, even when we forget. In mercy and steadfast love, God lifts us above the sins of our youth and the transgressions of today. God brings us, Christ brings us to God that we might receive a new spirit and a good conscience. We are God's beloved children who are welcomed into God's realm right here, right now, in the midst of life. Amen. It is my joy today to welcome new members, John and Kim Sprouse, their son Ryan, and Olivia Catherine, who will be baptized. I ask you that you turn to the insert and join with me now as we make promises one to the other in the sacrament of baptism. I'll invite you to come forward, family, and those you have invited to stand with you. John and Kim are multi-talented people. Committees, women's circles, men's group, and other committees, you'll be feel free after they join today to approach them, sign them up. I didn't ask about choir, though. I didn't ask about singing. Now to the congregation, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present Olivia Catherine Sprouse for baptism this morning. And now, John and Kim, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, oppression, and whatever forms they present themselves?
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service?
We will.
Okay. And will you nurture Olivia in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
We will.
Now, congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Olivia now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround her with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her trust of God and be found faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Now let us all together join in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Now the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan in the land you promised. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the Galatians, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and they who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Let's see if I can do this. Olivia Catherine, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Holy Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. You to hold me. And this is a spoon for her. And here is a napkin to wipe her head. Okay. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ, Olivia Catherine. Through baptism, she is incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome her as a member, the family of Christ, members of the household of God. I do commend her to your loving care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you, strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. And I invite the entire congregation, as they present Olivia Catherine and present themselves as new members in what we have called non-liturgically as the baby walk, we'll sing all of the verses of Happy the Home When God Is There. Please.
morning. Today's Old Testament reading is Genesis 9, verses 8 through 17, and is the conclusion to the story of Noah and the flood. Because of human sin, God destroys the world by flood. Because of human sin, God destroys the world by flood, saving only Noah, his family, and the animals on the ark. Yet divine destruction gives way to divine commitment. As in the first creation, God blesses humanity and establishes the covenant with all creatures. Listen now for God's word. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to join in the reading and the singing of today's Psalter. It's found on page 756. This is Psalm 25, the first 10 verses. We will begin with the singing of response 2. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me.
Let none that wait for you be put to shame.
Let them be ashamed who are clothed with treachery.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me.
For you are the God of my salvation.
Mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old.
Remember not the sins of my youth, or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore the Lord instructs sinners in the way, and leads the humble in what is right, and teaches them their way.
All the paths of the Lord.
Lead me,
epistle reading is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. As God acted through Christ's suffering and death to bring us to God, so God acts through baptism to save us from a sinful existence. This spiritual cleansing marks our new life in Christ. Listen again for God's word. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God awaited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As I remind you of some of our concerns, feel free, if you wish, to come forward and pray during our time of prayer. The altar rail is open. I want to lift up for your prayer concerns and your inclusion in your personal prayers Amy Gregory Young, Billy Tunstall, Henny Cox, Phyllis McQuaddy, Terry Kelly, Miller Hall, the Aylwine family, as they grow accustomed to the loss of Miriam. My family, we lost my uncle Archie, who's been a prayer concern, on Friday. His service will be tomorrow in Spartanburg, and I will be out of town for that. Betty Oliver. Hampton Warner was airlifted in great anxiety about that this past week, but he is now home. He was airlifted to Greenville, but is home now. And Meredith Driver Edwards, who continues her rehab in Greenville. Your other personal and private prayer concerns, please lift them up in our time of silent prayer. Let us pray. Living Lord, Holy Father, guiding Spirit, in the quiet and stillness of this worship time, our hearts and minds turn toward you. And we are thankful that you are always ready to listen to us, to hear. Lord, we look back from this Lent to the last season of Lent, and we confess that at times we have hungered and thirsted for the wrong things and taken wrong turns. We have at times been so busy demanding our rights and convincing ourselves that we were right, that it is only earth-shaking events that pull us to our knees and remind us to turn to you. We are so thankful that you allow U-turns and changes of direction, for we need them, we make them, and we make them again and again. So continue to speak to us, confront us, guide us, and correct us. We know that you have forgiven us from past actions and thoughts that have paralyzed our ability to live and love as Jesus did. Give us hungry hearts for your presence and power. And remind us not to be unduly worried about what someone else is or is not doing. For you have called us to our own unique path as we follow you. To use the abilities we have, the wisdom we have gained from pain, our time, our talents, our treasures, in unique ways. Lord, be our guide. Share your wisdom. And give us assurance of your forgiveness and love so that we have forgiveness and love to share. You know the things that cause us to cry, the things that keep us awake at night, that cause our tongues to stutter and our knees to become weak. In the midst of all the noise and chaos and confusion, help us listen more closely to your still small voice and the presence of your Spirit offering comfort and peace. Lord, we now lift before you in our private prayers those who are ill in body or ill in spirit, or grieving, or lost, or worried, or unemployed, or having financial difficulties. Lord, we lift up these prayers in our private, silent prayers of our hearts. Yes, Lord, hear our prayers. For we do pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these offerings unto you. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Close. I'm going to need some participation today. We've got a pretty good crop of kids here. Look who's here. Come close. Now, we don't give out candy at our children's sermon here, but I got candy in here. You know what this is?
Candy.
It is candy. This is a monkey trap. It's a monkey trap. We're talking about temptation in the big people sermon today. Sometimes things you think you really, really, really want, you want to have them, and they can have you. Have you ever wanted to do something really, really bad, and you did it, and you ended up kind of getting hurt or getting in trouble? Oh, come on. Go ahead. It's confession time. It's good. Lent, we confess. What?
Well,
what?
Now you're going to say just that. I thought you were finished saying it. So.
Okay.
I loved a horse ride once when I was taking riding lessons.
Okay, you like to ride horses. I don't know how this is going to end. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Boomer almost threw me off.
The horse almost threw you off?
Yes.
Well, not...
Well, I wasn't riding very
correctly. Well, okay, you mean you weren't riding correctly. That was the temptation to just take off.
I was riding.
Well, did you ever want...
weren't all the way in the skirt, so...
Okay.
Okay,
okay. I was on a horse once when I was 12, and it seemed like I was 10 feet off the ground. And this, the boy was riding the horse, and the boy's brother was down on the ground. And he picked up a baseball bat and swung it like he was going to hit the horse, and the horse just took off. This was a big stallion across the field. I was 12. That was the only time I've ever been on a horse. I figured out something bigger than me, stronger than me, with no brakes. I'm going to leave it alone. Now, what was your confession? You want me to repeat that? Okay. Sometimes you go get stuff to eat when you're not supposed to. I'll tell you, that's one of my illustrations in the Big People Sermon. Sometimes when I'm on a diet, things in the pantry and the refrigerator and the freezer call out to me at night. They do. Yeah, they do. Be careful now. We don't go... Okay. Several hours of secret video games. Well, but some things that you do end up not just getting you in trouble, but they steal your time. Like you should have been studying, so you fail a test. Or you shouldn't have been riding dangerously, so you fall off and you bump your head. Or you eat too much and your pants don't fit. You know, that happens. You have to wear your Thanksgiving pants, you know, the stretchy ones. Well, this is a monkey trap. They actually trap monkeys by putting different kinds of food in jars that are shaped just like this in Africa. And I've read and heard about this actually being done in Africa. They have a big, heavy pot. And the monkey, I'll just see how... Who would like to be the monkey? Okay, come here. You be the monkey. Reach in there and grab all the candy you can. All the candy you can. Now, and no, don't let go of the candy. You see? I got a monkey. I got one. No, you cheated. Grab all the candy you can. And the hand, it won't come out. And if this is a big, heavy jar, then I got myself a monkey. Because the monkey won't let go of it. There you go. See? I got him. Oh, now. Put that candy back in there. There. All right. You're messing up my sermon. Now, that's what temptation can do. A lot of times things seem like a real good idea, but they'll trap you. They get you stuck. They get you in trouble. Yes?
Like sometimes when we're in Mississippi, we're
Uh-huh.
Her house, and we just stay there since she lives in Mississippi.
Okay.
Well, her not allowed to have food upstairs, and sometimes okay. our husbands make us get food upstairs.
Oh, okay. Sometimes you take food upstairs, and you're not supposed to.
Can I eat some candy?
Can you eat some candy? Well, see, we don't usually give out candy. I thought, and this is, let's have a prayer. I'm going to leave this up here, and if your parents want you to have candy, then you can come get candy afterwards, but it's up to the parents. It's Emmy's candy. Well, let's have a prayer. Everybody grab somebody's hand. Now, I'll have the prayer, and y'all just say amen when we're finished, okay? Lord, we do thank you for the example of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for forgiveness when we get stuck in temptation. We thank you for giving us the strength to overcome it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I'm going to leave this up here, and your parents can help you have candy if you need it. Let us pass the peace. Gospel lesson this morning, is from the Gospel of Mark, first chapter, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. And I'll end our reading there. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I'm going to ask that my microphones be turned down just a little bit. We're having some feedback. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I can see by my watch that I don't have time for my full sermon, but luckily I've already preached the short version this morning, And when I preach the short version in the 11 o'clock service, the people say, amen. I know. That's right. But it is a serious topic. We do begin Lent with the theme of sin and temptation, and we might as well talk about it because we certainly all struggle with it. There is no sin in being tempted. Scripture says in Hebrews, even Jesus was tempted in every respect as we are. And I know how I are. It's hard to believe. The sin is not in being tempted. The sin is in yielding. Temptation comes to all of us. It does not come from God. The book of James is very clearly in the first chapter, verses 13 and 14. It's something you might want to look up later. James 1, 13 and 14. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Each person is tempted when he or she is lured and enticed by their own desire. Now, I recently read a story about a little boy named Bobby who was saving up his money. He desperately wanted a new bicycle. He wanted a new, 28-speed bicycle. And his plan was to save his quarters and save his dollars until finally he'd have enough money to buy this nice road bike. Well, each night he asked God to help him save his money in this way. He'd kneel by his bed and he'd pray, Dear Lord, please help me save my money for my new bike. And Lord, please don't let that ice cream man come down my street again tomorrow. Amen. You see, we all can do amazing, disciplined things over time as long as there are no temptations nearby. This is routine at my house. When I decide I'm going to go on a particular diet, it's wasteful, shouldn't do it, but I go through the house. Stuff that's not on my diet, it has to get out of the house. Sometimes I'll just throw it away. Because I know, as I said in the children's sermon, that if it's there, sometime in the night, it will call out to me. It knows me. Now, here's a thought. Something to really ponder. We all have some pretty firm ideas about what is right and what is wrong and where the boundaries are. And yet, we all violate our own standards when temptation comes near. And we all break down our own boundaries of behavior when, oh, the wrong seems off so strong. We agree that even within ourselves, there is something within us that does not wish us well, that works against our higher good, our body's health, and the good of others around us, against the good that we could do if we cooperated with others. And let's call these violations sin. Sin against the doctor's orders. Sin against our own bodies. Sin against our own marriage and relationships if we say or fail to say what we know that we should or should not. Sin against the good to others we might have done if we hadn't splurged and spent all our money on ourselves. Now, all of these could be termed interpersonal or social sins, and I think even an atheist could commit these and recognize these as wrong. But there seems to be another category of sin we don't speak about very often. Sins against God. Worshipping someone or something, or even worshiping your own wandering desires instead of God. And that is what I mean when I say idolatry. That is idolatry. And it need not be a stone idol. It could be a diamond ring. It needn't be an image of Baal. It could be thousands of images your partner cannot compete with on the internet. And what is worship if it is not your time, your adoration, your rapt attention, your money, and your livelihood given freely? That's idolatry. That is worship of a thing or a pursuit or a person, or serving, even sacrificing time and talent and treasure for these pursuits and possessions and ideals, all of which are less than God. Idolatry is alive and well in the year 2009. Lent is a time when we to find out if it is true what we say to ourselves about our slight and little and petty vices. And what do I mean? Try to control those slight and little petty vices and find out how slight and little and petty they are. You may find that they have more power over you than you suspected.
My father was a physician. And he left family practice early on and specialized in emergency medicine, partially because he said he came to the conclusion that people did not listen to him about their own health. They paid for his advice and didn't do it. He said so many patients suffered self-inflicted diseases or aggravations of conditions which were absolutely avoidable by changing behavior or changing diet or exercise. He told them, and they believed him. And yet, they did not do what was in their own self-interest. He said they wanted a pill instead of to push away from the table. They wanted a magic elixir rather than exercise. They wanted extra insulin instead of less sugar. And a few wanted sugar pills, placebos, imaginary pills for imaginary diseases, and he would not prescribe those. He would not give those, even though some of his inherited patients had been taking them for years. And as a son of a physician, I remember seeing catalogs, pages of placebos, all different types with convincing shapes and colors, with nothing in them. I don't think they do that anymore. And if you ask your doctor, I don't think he or she would tell you. I'm not sure. But the real kicker of all this is all that my father knew, even though he knew these things, he did not take his own advice. He didn't. Knowing all that he knew, he retired, he became sedentary, he gained weight that aggravated his blood pressure problems, and then had adult onset diabetes, and he prescribed himself extra insulin, unbeknownst to his doctor, and ate ice cream and cake. What is it among even the best of us that seems to seek our own harm physically, emotionally, in relationships, and spiritually? We fail to do what we know to be helpful, and time after time do the very thing that we know to create a distance between us and others, between us and God, between us and our best self. Why do we do that? One thing I want you to notice in this brief scripture from Mark is that Jesus was tempted when he was alone in the wilderness. One of the greatest antidotes to self-inflicted harm is having a good friend to hold you accountable. That is the genius of AA. Someone to call when you are feeling tempted to self-destructive behavior. And on the positive side, an exercise buddy who walks with you or rides with you or weighs with you every week on a regular schedule so that each of you holds the other accountable. And we hope to this year establish small groups, very reminiscent of the early Methodist groups called Christ Care Groups, all through the church, where you will pray together and hold each other accountable for the areas where you are weak and walk along beside each other in positive ways. I have a friend who's sort of the unofficial president of the bicycle club here. His name is Jim Cox, and he's a good example of this too. He says, I schedule bike rides each week, usually four different rides a week. And he said, now I personally only make one or two of them a week. But Jim frankly told me one day, and he sometimes listens to our broadcast. I'll get an email if he hears this. He says, sometimes I don't feel like doing a thing, much less riding a bike for 30 miles. But I know I sent out the email, and other people are depending on me, so I do it. Having friends hold you accountable, it works. It's as simple as that, and scheduling prayer and scheduling support and accountable time, that used to be a natural and weekly part of Methodism, and I hope that we can get back to that. But when we're alone, and we don't feel like it, and we're disconnected, and the kids are grumpy, and there are other things to do, we don't spend much time in the church body. And I'm not chastising. I'm simply describing what I see. And there are times in some programs where that's what I do too. But alone, held accountable by no one, alone is the weakest you'll ever be against temptation. Alone with our internal voices and vices that no one can see, we tend to give in to the entropy of evil. Alone, we tend to give in to that which tears us down instead of builds us up, that which separates us from each other instead of builds community. Alone, we tend to indulge our appetites instead of feed our soul. It is not good to be alone.
Temptation is a bit like a wedge. In the world of physics, a mechanical world, you can get a wedge. There's hardly anything more powerful. And if you've ever split wood, you know that you can put a metal wedge right there in some very hard oak, pound on it, and the whole log just splits apart. Temptation is like that. The wedge that drives us apart from God, apart from each other, apart from our best self. And think of the ways that temptation's gone wild, isolate us. Picture a gambler alone for hours in front of a slot machine or poker machine. Picture the solitary face in the glow of a computer screen addicted to the internet. Or picture the worshiper of wealth behind high walls and guarded gates and solitary silence, surrounded by priceless collections that no one sees. Picture the man or woman completely homebound by weight, knowing that every excess bite of food isolates them further. Look at the famous who sought fame and we think they must be happy, and then look at their drug abuse and suicide and divorce after divorce and bodyguards and complaints of the picture takers, and all they want now is to be left alone. Apparently, even fame is not what we think it is. Think of the mad power dictators who kill anyone who threatens them, fill in the blanks, declaring themselves presidents for life. And removing any threat. Sin does isolate. And in Hebrew, the word that we call Satan is Satan, and it actually means a function. It means tempter. And in Greek, the same word is translated devil, but it really means slanderer, accuser, and liar. Boil those down together, and the scripture is trying to tell us that temptations turn out to be lies. Things outside our own standards and beyond the boundaries we ourselves agree with. These things often seem like they might bring us happiness, but they're lies. They bring misery. They seem like they might bring us contentment. The grass might be greener over there, but they bring chaos, disintegration, isolation, and you find yourself alone. And this reminds me of a cute little word that, it's a cute word now, naughty. It once meant something deeper. I see that I'm out of time, but let me finish. Naughty once meant something deeper. It once meant something very profound. Naught is another word for zero. And all of you old enough, well, there's Pierce, all of you old enough to remember the Beverly Hillbillies. Remember when Jethro wanted to be a double naught spy? Remember that? You know, like 007? Well, anyway, he did. Naught is another word for zero. Naughty in English used to mean the emptiness, the something which promises good but ultimately comes to or reduces us to zero, to empty, to alone, to naught. Temptation's promises come to naught. Shortly after the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, some young followers of Martin Luther wrote him in kind of an Ann Landers sort of way. They wrote him a question. They said, Luther, we are harassed by many temptations which appeal to us so often and so strongly that they give us no rest. You don't seem to be troubled in this way. We'd like to know your secret. Don't temptations bother you? Are you somehow immune to sin? And Luther wrote back saying, I too know something of temptation. But the difference is that when temptation comes knocking at the door of my heart, I always answer, go away. This place is occupied. Go back where you came from, for Christ is here. The key to understanding and dealing with temptation is found in these words, for Christ is here. Martin Luther told these youthful followers that the key to dealing with temptation is to allow Christ to fill your heart, and that begins with prayer. God, fill the empty places, fill the naught places, fill the vacuum in my heart, fill the hunger in my heart so that I will not be assailed so frequently and so deeply by temptations. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I have a confession, a brief confession. I know that prayer in this way works. When I am tempted to lose my temper, yes, I have a temper. Caroline's here somewhere. She'll raise her hand. You haven't seen it. You would remember if you had.
When I am about to lose my temper, on the edge of losing my temper, if I pray, Lord, help me, calm me, give me peace, if I pray, I don't lose my temper. It works 100% of the time. I do not give in to anger if I pray. But there have been times when I decided not to pray because I decided I deserve to be angry. And I give in to that temptation, I give in to the anger, and I lose. I decide not to use the power of prayer to win. Prayer can work as you fight temptation. Lent is a time to send isolating evil a message. Look around you. Where is prayer and fellowship in the church on your schedule? Where are friends who can hold you accountable on your schedule? What kinds of activities keep you away from here? Are you passing judgment on others who do the very same things that you do? Are you passing on gossip because it's so fun to run other people down? When we talk about, this is a note on that, confession during Lent, that's confessing your own sins. No matter how much fun it is to confess other people's sins, you're only allowed to confess your own. Are you following your doctor's orders about your health? And what does your checkbook say about the way you spend your life? We have 6 weeks of Lent to say to temptation, go away. This place is occupied. Christ is here. I belong to Him. Amen. Receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And may the power, the strength, and the guidance, the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you even now. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.